And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. I'm Doug Hagmann. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. And thanks for hanging with us in this time. I just want to open the show here. I got a great episode lined up for you. I have a very, very, very special guest coming on momentarily. Just hang on, or to echo the Steve Bannon, hang on. with all due respect, okay, to the men, seriously, kind of an inside joke. Never mind. So it looks like President Trump. What did he do? He terminated all documents, executive orders, contracts signed by Biden's auto pen, you know, the potato head, the vegetable. Null, void, and of no further force or effect. All right. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, covering a lot of ground today. Yeah, I have a lot of ground to cover, including Russia v. Ukraine. I just want to give everyone kind of a heads up on this, because there's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out and being talked about. You know, the only people that benefit from, I mean, people benefiting from this are the globalists, okay? Bottom line, consider the numbers right now. And these are the closest estimates that you're going to find anywhere. In this conflict started by Obama, Nuland, Biden, and all of the deep state people, okay, in the U.S., as well as others in Europe. You know, Russia has lost anywhere between 130,000 and 140,000 troops and people. We'll say 140,000. Ukraine, on the other hand, 1.8 million. 1.8 million. Think about that. At this point, we are reaching a terminal point in this globalist war. Think about the fact that NATO is disintegrating. The U.S. is not going to join in with NATO talks next week. Did you hear about that? And right now, everything is kind of revolving around Germany, their role in pushing all of this. And it's not a good situation. When I say not good, it's certainly not good for Ukraine. It's not really good for the globalists. Now, look, there is this 28-point peace plan. Everyone should know that was authored, created, and being pushed by President Trump. Okay. It's not viable. Everyone knows that. That's the bottom line. Okay. It may be a 1 or 2 point peace plan when it's all done, when it's all said and done. The bottom line is Russia is saying, look, you know, I mean, this is where you folks started it. This is where we're at. Shut up, sit down before we really take the gloves off and handle things. The EU right now is self-destructing. There are uprisings, in case you haven't seen this, on because we don't talk that much about the international things. But right now, uprisings in Germany and France, and it's very interesting on these. When you look deep, just real quick here, when you look deep at these, you have the. In the U.S., we would call that we would call people like the far right, okay? Right, wrong, correct or not correct, but far right. And then the far left. It's an interesting thing to watch, specifically in Germany, but then France too. You've got this convergence or merging of these totally separate ideologies fighting against the government. The government in Germany, and then in France, and their leadership is about to collapse. So there's that issue, which is an important issue. Think about that. And I'll add this. The only people that really want to continue this war, the Europeans, essentially the Europeans, Zelensky, and whatever might be left of NATO. Look at that. You know, like that. Okay. All right. So now everyone knows about that idiotic seditionist video that's out there, right? You know, from the Seditious Six. Yeah, treason not necessarily would apply, and I would urge everyone to really kind of look up and stick to the definitions of the specific definitions of these words, treason, sedition, and such, because they will come into play. The video that came out can be traced to a couple of people. And a lot of people have done some really, the script for that, by the way, it can be traced to a couple of people. And there are some individuals, internet sleuths, shall we say, and people on the inside that have done some really great work in identifying, you know, the origins and really the intent of that video. You've seen it. I'm not going to play it. You know, I'm talking about the six, numbnuts who are out there saying don't follow illegal orders. What was the intent of that? You know, I was talking to somebody and I was talking to somebody. Anyway, we're talking about intent. Well, you know what? I'm just going to leave that there because we don't need to get into that right now. I just want to hit some high points here. Venezuela. Well, let's talk about this in the context of that video. Look, the video has nothing to do with anything currently ongoing. Did you know there's a war manual out there that published by the Department of Defense? It was revised. I think the latest revision was in 2023. It's like a gazillion pages. But with respect to Venezuela, people see, what do we see on the media, in social media, which is nothing but a tool of manipulation. Man, I don't know how many times I've said this before. It's a tool of manipulation. If you haven't seen the episodes I've done on behavior modification, you've got to watch those. And maybe we'll hit on some of that today. But nothing about this, nothing about Venezuela is about drugs. It's about narco trafficking. I had posted something on X, and I don't know, maybe it was three weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure. And I gave an account of how I traced a shipment of drugs that contained fentanyl from Western Pennsylvania through the United States to the Mexican border, even identifying the point of entry and the most probable groups. Okay. And I got a lot of pushback on that. It's interesting. I might get 9 views on 10 views, maybe on my X post, but boy, if something hits, if something is objectionable to people, holy crap, you know, these people come out of the woodwork. A few most recent ones, I've actually been honored with some pretty serious and actionable death threats, which is fabulous. Okay, so, yeah, because the people that are going to kill you, generally speaking, they're not going to say, you know what, they're not going to send an advance notice to you. So, anyway, about Venezuela, nothing about this is about narco trafficking or stopping that. It's all about regime change. It's right now we have it verified that there are about 15,000 U.S. military and CIA, or well, U.S. CIA and special forces in country in Venezuela, out to oust or kill Maduro. That's to change the regime. But why? What's the motive there? Chat, I'm going to turn to you. Anyone want to weigh in on this real quick? The quicker you weigh in on this, the quicker we can move on. What do you think? Come on, you can do it. Let me see who I'm going to see who pipes up here. And again, I'm 10 seconds short on that. What's our motive for going bananas? Okay. Bananas? Yeah, Chiquita. Seems to me that was something that had something to do with another uprising or another regime change. Yes, voting machines. Yes, but no. Here's the bottom line. So elections, I agree. China and Iran, yes. These are all yes, yes, yes. Let's see here. Pewter Skull, 67. You got it. Resources. Oil, gas, and gold. End of story. Venezuela is very, very tightly connected to Cuba. Okay. Russia is helping, by the way, Venezuela and Maduro by supplying Maduro's security forces and their doubles and such. And they're being paid off in gold. But the globalists, of course, want to install a legitimate person in that position to run the country. No, they want to have like just a different face, same policies, or kind of a socialism or communism light. But with respect to the narco trafficking, I dug real deep into this. Narco trafficking. Now you have to exclude fentanyl because for a lot of reasons, because of the nature of that beast. But bottom line here, the percentage of drugs that come from Venezuela is between 3.2 to 3.8% into the U.S. So let's be generous, say 4%. So you think this is about narco trafficking? Nah, not even close. And with respect to one, if you squint, and I want to add context to that, to what people are trying to equate that video to these illegal orders and such. If you're trying to marry that, the two, which you shouldn't do, it does, but you're going to hear this. It does relate to the fact that, we hit a, vessel transporting narcotics. And two people survived, and our operators asked, "Hey, you got two people hanging on the remnants of a boat. What do you want to do?" Bottom line, Hegseth said, "Kill him," which they did. That's not cool. Look, I'm okay with it. To be honest with you, I'm okay with that. But according to our own rules, regulations of the U.S. Department of Defense, now Department of War, according to their manual, that's not cool. So if you want to kind of equate an issue, as some people are, that could be an issue. But bottom line, it's not about that. It's never about that. It's never about what they say. All right. So a lot of that to get into, as well as or to expand upon, as well as, well, I'll tell you what, the expansion of the surveillance state, buckle in, buckle up. Just extremely detailed reports, especially by white collar fraud, about the obstruction of justice here in the U.S., the people behind all of that, the crimes right now being perpetrated against the American people and really all of the West. We're going to be talking about all of this, the UN's architecture, the UN being the architect and the architecture of open borders. Just a piece by Glenn Beck coming up as well. The Islamic takeover, which we're going to be talking about. And of course, the Newsom, the real things happening with respect to the fires in Maui, the fires in Palisades in California, the hurricane, of course, in the Carolinas, and things that are happening that are not right, all of this combined, and we have ourselves, wow, just a lot to talk about, as well as the auto pen. Hey, you know what? Your pardons are no longer valid. But I asked the question, and I'm sure Randy Taylor, who's coming on shortly, is going to ask the same question. You can say that. You can write very damning letters, and you can complain and bitch and moan all you want. But the bottom line is, if we don't make arrests, if we don't make examples out of these people, you know what? You might as well just go ahead and grab your ankles, bend over, grab your ankles, no lube, and you're going to get it right up the backside without, again, no lube, because without consequences, without accountability, you can complain, bitch, moan, send all the letters, call the congressman, you can do anything you want, but ain't nothing going to happen. And you can call 911, ain't no one coming. And that's where we're at. So with me to share all of this and more, the long-awaited, the now legendary, kind of, it was almost like a mirage there for a while. Randy Taylor was like a mirage. No one could find him. Is he over there? Where's Waldo? Where's Randy Taylor? Is he over there? No, he's not there. Is he there? No, not there. We finally got him. He's up. He's around. And he's with me. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir? We thought maybe we had to send the search party out for you, but how are you doing?
I'll tell you what, man. It's it's good to be here. It's been a tough couple months since the last time I saw you folks. A lot has happened.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal, folks. Let's spend a few minutes because we're all family here. And if you don't think you are, then okay. But to the extent you feel you want to, let's tell us what's going on.
Yeah. As everybody knows, I had my left leg amputated back in February. Went well. Everything's good. Prosthetic, was walking around, everything was doing fantastic. And early September, I was in the backyard, went out there with my daughter because we've had a coyote problem. And I went out there and I fell in the yard, twisted my ankle. And came back in, just fine. Her ankle hurt, but a couple days later, I was showering, and I went to stand up on my good leg, and I collapsed in the wheelchair, which is in the, when you're upstairs using a bathroom, it's a commode wheelchair, right? And I collapsed, and what had happened is my ankle had broken on my good leg. I mean, broken. The foot was hanging. And in fact, when I called out to my wife and she came in, I thought she was going to puke.
Was that a compound fracture or not?
Just, no, it didn't come through the skin. Okay. It was.
So it was a complete fracture.
It completes her as complete as they come. And so they took me to the hospital. I sat around and emerged and this and that and just a nightmare. And then finally at midnight, the surgeon decided, okay, I'll operate on them. Oh, they sent me home that night because they didn't have room. Back the next night, next day.
Did you care? No. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Do you care to tell us where this happened? I mean, geographically. Folks, if you, there's not. Go ahead.
I was in Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you Muppets, mopes, idiots, morons out there, you think for 1 second you want socialized medicine in this country?
No, you do not.
F you. Go ahead.
F you and then some more. Okay. The system is broken. So let me tell you about how great this system is. my foot's literally hanging. They send me home.
There you go.
Tell me to come back the next day. I come back in the next night, next day. All day long, I'm here until midnight. Finally, I go into surgery. Now, anybody that's known me for years here, okay, knows that I had what they call Charcot foot in my foot, in my other foot, and I had it in this foot too. Charcot foot is where your bones are so weak that when you walk, you crush them. That's how weak your bones are.
Yep.
So what do?
And look, I want to interrupt for one thing. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Randy Taylor is a tough son of a bitch. Okay. And he's been wading through jungles, carrying, 75 pounds on his back and rifles and, killing people, breaking stuff. All right. On behalf of this country. All right. And he's been doing everything. And he'd rather rub dirt on something, but when you have an injury, and folks, please consider this, understand this, because this is where the U.S. is headed. Yeah. And,
courtesy of Barack Hussein Obama.
That's correct. And John friggin' stupid McCain. Go ahead.
Yeah, who started this shit. Okay. We had a good healthcare system in the U.S. at one point until about 2008 when Barack Hussein Obama decided he was going to stick his ass in there.
Yep.
And screw it up and take. Do you realize there is less people insured now under the Affordable Care Act than there was in 2008. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I didn't mean to take you off stride there, but
you're right.
Your foot's dangling dangling participle there, right?
Yeah.
Like a little dick. Okay.
So they take me into surgery, screws and plates, send me home immediately. I mean, I'm still groggy from the anesthetic, and away I go. I should have been held for several days because I went home. I put no pressure on that leg. I give you my word. God strike me dead if I'm lying. I put no pressure on that leg. And about 5 days later, there was blood in the cast. And we called the office, the doctor's office, the surgeon's office, and said, hey, there's blood in the cast. And the lady was like, that happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Well, I've got an appointment back at the hospital a couple of days later. So we're like, well, I guess. I mean, do I want to go back to the emergency room and sit there for another 16 hours? I don't know. She said it's okay. But anyway, we would go back on the Monday to get x-rays done. Thank God I had an appointment that day because I went septic while I was in the hospital. Septic and basically to where I didn't even know where I was. And what had happened is those plates and screws had popped out, all of them, and the plates had come back through the skin. The entire foot and ankle was infected beyond belief. The screws and plates were just hanging there. Yeah. So guess what? I was unconscious most of the day. And when I woke up in the hospital room on Tuesday, I didn't have a right leg. Give me a second.
So, no left leg.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you wake up. Stellar right care. Right, so stellar Canadian, whatever. You go into sepsis. You wake up, now you have no legs.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if you have any idea what it's like to try and live with no legs. Look, I'm sorry. Give me a second. I get upset when I talk about it.
Well, and I think people should understand, look, I've got an email saying, hey, where is Randy Taylor? Look, with all due respect, okay, you got your answer.
Yeah. And let me tell you what, socialized medicine isn't anything that you want. No. And there's no account. There is zero accountability.
No, there's not.
But anyway, it's wiped us out. I couldn't even come home from the hospital until the upstairs. We had to, all the carpets had to be pulled and flooring put in so I could push a wheelchair around because there's no walking at this point. It won't be until I get a prosthetic leg, and then I'll be on two prosthetic legs. And the second prosthetic leg, the insurance company is giving us a load of crap about, and we've just incurred so much cost. And
well,
so far in debt with this, just because of this, this has just been, I can't even begin to explain it to you. But just to let you know just how fast life can get screwed up really bad. Really, really, really bad. And I'm on disability with an insurance company, okay, through my previous employer. And that's good till I'm 65, which I'm almost 65, so that's almost over. But people say, well, go do a GoFundMe, stop, send, go, and all those. I can't do it for the simple reason those are charities. If you do it through a company like that, then what will happen is the insurance company will, any money that you receive, they will take away from your monthly disability payments, which is what pays our mortgage.
So, unless you're in the legal, by the way, in which case you could double. I want to give you time to just catch your breath. Here's the bottom line. All right. The guy's fought for our country, and then he volunteered for our country. He's been with me. We've been together in the trenches, investigating the infiltration, the invasion, the paramilitary, invasion of, the Muslims and really enemies of the U.S. And we've done a lot. He's done a lot, together, investigative wise. And, now we got a man down. It's got a man down. It's leave no man behind, right? Well, that's really a cute statement, right? So here's the bottom line on that. Well over $100,000 in debt, no legs and, hurting pup. $100,000, a friggin' $100,000. All right. There are people out there. Okay. Never mind. Hey, he's got a recovery fund set up. Okay. Randy Taylor does. rt.recoveryfund.com. You want to help out?
No, at gmail.com.
Or I'm sorry, at gmail. Yeah. I'm looking right at it. What the heck? rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. And I'll tell you something, okay? If anyone is owed if anyone deserves to be lifted up, both in prayer and financially, it's Randy Taylor. So rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com.
And that's at PayPal. That's actually at PayPal.
Right. Yeah, I'm not even sure how the mechanics works on that, but that's a PayPal, at PayPal, email, or via PayPal.
If you go to PayPal and you look that up, that's me.
Okay.
And it won't be my name on it, just so we're clear on this. Right. Okay. Someone else is running this for me.
And to be, that's important to note, because there's a lot of scams and bullshit out there. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? I make no apologies, because I have no filter left after the last several days. Believe me, that's a whole different story. But I'll tell you something. Okay. This is set up. There's no BS. It's being overseen by a CPA, certified public accountant, who is monitoring all of the, making sure that nothing is mishandled, because you know everybody at the top is looking to go after people like Randy Taylor and myself. My gosh, if you make a mistake in your taxes by a dollar, they're coming for you. So everything's above board. The place to go, and I'll put this in the show notes and links and all that, rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. That's via PayPal if you so desire to assist. And I do hope you feel that way.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I don't ask folks for things. And I just got my
hang on a second. So don't have PayPal. Is that an issue? Do you need PayPal? You don't need PayPal. I don't have PayPal. I don't have PayPal. Do you?
No, it's hard. Well, I don't know how else you would.
Use your card on PayPal. I don't know. Yeah. It's you don't have to sign up for PayPal. There you go.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I seem a little bit edgy, I don't mean to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if you have any questions at all, just rt@hagmanpi.com and I can answer your questions. Yeah, but there's a gentleman that's looking after this. He's looked after my taxes, known all my life. He's looked after my taxes and took care of my companies, everything. That way no one can come back at me about anything on this. And that's what's cool about it. It's being done properly. And like I said, I can't do the GoFundMe and the other because it is a registered charity and the insurance company. If I wasn't drawing disability, that's what I would do. But I'm getting disability, a small disability payment through my previous employer.
And you're making just a ton of money through your disability, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's us, buddy. We've just over the last 5 years, more and more and more and more. Every time you turn around, there's a medical expense. And a stinking wheelchair is over $5,000 now. $6,000 for a good wheelchair. I'm not talking about fancy. I'm just talking about good. Yeah.
Yeah, there's, it's nuts. Believe me.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. If you see fit, cool. You know, I appreciate it. My family appreciates it. But listen, let's have a good show here,
man. Yeah, okay. But I wanted to make sure that people had that right up front.
I'm back with family.
There you go. There you go.
I missed you guys.
Well, judging by the input, everyone missed you. And I'll say this to people out there. Look, it ain't easy for him to, you think, okay, well, you watch people on TikTok TikTok crap, or I don't even know they go in their car, they're eating, and they're doing videos. Oh, it's easy. Just put a phone. No, because we connect to multiple platforms, stations, and what have you. So it's not easy for him to get to a place where he can sit there and actually be connected to us. It's because of the way it is. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know? So for him to appear, the point I'm making is it's a physical challenge now.
It's
at
tough.
This moment.
It's tough. I was going to be on with Doug last week, and my health is just so horrible that a simple UTI took me out.
Yeah.
I was in bed with a fever. I had to have a doctor come to the house. It's just, it was nuts. I can't go to the doctor. So he had to come to the home. You know what I'm saying? I just, life's changed, man.
Well,
please, and from all this, please don't ever assume anything. Don't ever just go through life and assume anything. Because I got news for you. It changes in a second. And don't feel sorry for me. It's my family that's suffering. They're the ones that have to look after me. They're the ones that when I fall, have to pick me up and try and get me back in a bed or in a chair. You know, I They're the ones that have to push me up and down ramps. They're the ones that have to throw the wheelchair in and out of the car anywhere good time to go somewhere. You know, people don't think about that. My wife destroyed her shoulder with the wheelchair. She just lifted it in and out of the car.
Little things that people take for granted, please. And that's why I've been talking to you. Cannot take anything for granted. If you, and people, sometimes people complain, well, why are you pushing all this health stuff? Well, because prevent it while you can, and then or help yourself. You got to. You got to. And so what's the prognosis? And we don't have to talk. I mean, to the extent, like I said,
at this point, they hope they got all the bone infection.
They hope.
That's all these years, last 5 years, I've had nurses coming to the house every other day, dressing a wound that wouldn't heal on my left foot. So that one I got amputated. And the problem is it was a bone infection and charcoal foot combined. And no one could say, okay, what caused the bone infection? They say, well, here's antibiotics. Well, you sit there and take the same antibiotics for 5 years. Guess what I did to myself? Now the antibiotics are no good. So when the UTI hit and they gave me simple antibiotics, what happened? Nothing. I got worse. Yeah.
Yep.
See, and there you go. Let's not fix it, but you just put some Band-Aids on it. And that's socialized medicine in a nutshell. They don't care. They don't give a damn about me.
Well, and it's...
You know what they offer people like me? Med.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that is a very, very relevant subject. Yeah. So they were going to put a maid in your home? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's what we know. We don't qualify for anything like that. But what maid is medically assisted dying, which is in Canada has taken off rampantly. It used to be for people that were like dying of cancer and things like that. Now, people that can't pay their bills, they offer it to them. When you go into the hospital, they run into your room wanting to know if you want to sign a DNR. This focus on death in Canada is really scares me. I'm not talking for myself. I'm just talking as a country. Where did it go so wrong that's the answer? Made? We got veterans in Canada up here killing themselves through MAID.
And if you don't die quick enough, they'll help you.
And mentally ill.
Oh, of course.
When that is a never. That is never supposed to happen. Canada is evil. What's going on in Canada? I'm just telling you. You know,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, just so people know, folks, I'm 100% behind this. Obviously, for other reasons, for many reasons, we could not. Let me just emphasize this. Do not, under any condition, do not send Hagman Report money. None. No. Zero. Nada. For this cause. I'd have to return it to you. Okay. Send, if you want to assist Randy Taylor, there's one way to do it financially. That is, there's one way to do it, and that is rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put it everywhere I can possibly do, but do not send money to me. Okay.
And that works at PayPal. And you can also email me through that email account.
There you go.
Straight email. Straight to me. Come straight to me. And people that, even being down, the people that know me, and I've made a lot of friends through this platform, the people that know me know that I'm pretty good about returning emails. Even when I've been horribly sick.
Which puts me to shame because I read emails, but I seldom reply. And that's
well, some don't garner a reply, but some.
Well, yeah, but you know, so folks, that it's an his story is so incredible. What has happened to him?
Yeah, and it's yes, I am still working on my book.
There you go.
I hope I live long enough to get the book out, but I'm still working on that. I just want you to know it's not a lost endeavor, but life's been a pretty incredible story, and a lot of it's just because of the paths I've chosen. And like when I met Doug, we were fighting the Muslims then, and you know what? We're fighting them again. We're fighting them again. I've got to keep my efforts here focused, you know what I mean? We've got the Islamification of America has to stop.
Yep.
This is this bullshit in New York. I don't know what the hell is going on there with as far as what are you people thinking? Why is no one taking care of this?
And for those people who didn't see this or who think that this is not a big deal, so people understand, back in 05, post 9/11, for a period of several years, Randy Taylor, myself, others were heavily engaged in both the surveillance of the electronic communications involving the infiltration of Muslims here into the U.S. and the takeover. Eric the Tech, if you can open up the drive, that would be law enforcement docs to New York terrorism, and then to the top link. RT, let's show the people one more time. And let's talk about this, because everyone is like surprised today. Oh my gosh, you know, all these compounds. Look at Texas. Look at the epic encampments. Look at this. Look at that. Folks, again.
And doesn't that personally, Doug, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because we told you.
We told everybody.
We warned everyone over and over. And to the point of ridicule.
Oh, and hey, you lost a vehicle. It turned to ashes in your, I'm not going to say anymore, it turned to ashes. I lost a vehicle. It turned to ashes. And, you know, the investigation behind all of that, not so much. We really don't give a shit. That's the federal government. We turned over reports to the FBI before the ink was dry on those reports. Guess what? The enemy, the infiltrators, the paramilitary, they had copies of the friggin' reports. And then the feds had the balls, had the temerity. What did they do? They classified the documents we turned over to them and said you can't have them back after they took the primary evidence that we provided to them. And here we are. And scroll down if you don't mind to the first picture. Okay, this is a highly redacted report. I'm working on putting this out, but there it is. This is the kind of stuff Randy Taylor and I did. This is downtown. This is in the center of Buffalo, New York. This is 485 Best Street, Buffalo, New York. If you want to know the address, this is back in, when the hell was it? 05. Something like that, 0405. This was a surveillance photograph taken. It just shows one kid, you know, screwing around. No, it's paramilitary training, groups of young men, military age, not from this country, imams and whatever you want to call them, teaching them how to scale buildings. We've got pictures and photographs of bullet-ridden school buses, this kind of training taking place. There are tunnels under that facility. We've told you and told you and told you. We told the federal government, and even today, under the Patel-Bongino leadership, what do we get? Nothing. Nothing. They're still friggin' here. And you know what? Here's what scares me. And I'm going to shut up after this. And RT, you can, but I'm going to tell you something. What scares me right now, soft targets, including and especially schools. And people, well, you said that. And yeah, well, right, right. You said that before, but I'm going to tell you something right now. These people are not going to friggin' stop. You know why? Because we've allowed it. When I say we, I'm talking about this government has allowed it. It's continuing and it's a bunch of bullshit. And if one last thing, Islam is not a religion. It's not a race. It is a political system. Understand that. It is not compatible with Christianity, nor is it compatible with the laws of the United States and the Constitution. If you have any questions, you shouldn't. You're a moron if you do. All right. RT, no, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And remember this. Islam refuses to coexist with us. We didn't set that premise. Islam set that premise. So when people say, "Oh, you're speaking about Islam, it's hate speech." Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I hate them. Yes, I do.
Yep.
Yes, I do. Just as I could, the Crusaders hated them.
They're enemies.
They are the natural enemy of Christianity. There is nothing, and what Doug said, this is not a religion. This is a political system that hides behind the claim of being a religion. Because then it's afforded protections.
Yeah.
This is a political system, and all engulfing. This is a submit or die system. This is what people don't understand. These little fruitcakes you run into, okay, they get out there and go, "Well, Islam's a religion of peace." You know what I mean? Well, this and that. No, let me tell you what. It's a murderous cult established by a pedophile. And don't try and justify and say, "Well, those were the times back then." Okay, I don't give a damn. You don't marry a six-year-old and have sex with her at nine. There's something seriously wrong with you. And then these people turn around and subscribe to this crap. Do you realize the only reason that people subscribe to Islam is because our Islam always goes, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Here's a little bit of food. You're okay. Can you drive a truck?" I'm not kidding.
Yep.
You think this is, the whole thing is bullshit.
That's right.
Okay, every bit of it, and get pissed off. Call me a hate monger. I don't care. You can kiss my ass. I don't care. We fight here. We can fight in the trenches. We're going to be fighting somewhere. Because you know the world is not supposed to go submit to you. It's not happening. Not on my watch. This is bull crap. And when you let everybody say, "Oh, you know, the mayor of New York City, it's no big deal." Yeah, really? They said that in London, too. Sadiq Khan. Yeah. Why don't you look it up? The first Muslim mayor of London. Look it up.
Yeah. And now in New York City, right? I mean, look.
Look it up. It's that simple. Nobody talks about that because, and here's the thing. I can't believe that people are so lazy that they wouldn't get off their asses and unseat this little Muslim son of a bitch.
Folks, if you detect any kind of rough edges here, we have them, and rightfully so. We have them. If you can put that... I'm just so...
And here's the thing, Doug. People act surprised. This is the part that floors me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the ones that defend. And you just see the women in New York going, you know, jumping up and down about Sharia law. You know, it's like queers for Palestine. That's like chickens for KFC. It just doesn't make any sense. You're not making sense.
But, and even, RT, even when they tell you what they're going to do, cut four. Let's toss this in here. This is a minute, 14 seconds. This is not, this little message was not given in Somalia. It wasn't given in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, even London. No, this was in Michigan. And It speaks for itself. This is cut forward in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. Once the program is up, you click on the title, you scroll down, you can find all the source material, with the exception of the stuff that we can't put there yet, but we will. Okay, so here's cut four, RT, and you can take it on the other side, but here's what's coming to your backyard, and here's what's here in other people's front yards and backyards. Cut four, minute 14.
We see that the Christians celebrate the so-called birth of Isa alayhi salam, which is a pagan holiday. These rogue liars make claims against Allah Jalla wa'ala that are mind-blowing, so much so that hearts turn away from. The beginning of every Gregorian year, they make the celebration claiming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wife and a child. How can a Muslim after this celebrate, congratulate, intermingle with these kuffar, claiming that Allah Jalla wa'ala has a wife and has a child? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath is upon them. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala means, indeed you have brought forth a terrible evil thing. And do not fall, ya ikhwa, for the interfaith nonsense. These people will give khutab and come to the masajid, claiming that the Yahud are not kuffar, the Nasara are not kuffar. No one is kafir. We're all the children of Adam. We worship Allah differently. Brothers in humanity, don't fall for this, ya ikhwa. This is the new thing that is going on today.
You know, these ass clowns didn't even show up till what, 700 AD?
Yeah, 632, I think, or something close.
Yeah, pretty much 700 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and what you had was a traveling salesman that saw how easy it was, in his opinion, to garner power and money.
Yep.
And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. And how a pedophile for your profit? And it isn't like he did it and was sorry that he did it. You know, I don't... What? There is not a single thing, and I dare anyone to answer me, I'll wait, that Islam has offered the human race. Name one. Give me a scientific discovery, an invention, a life-saving cure.
Nothing.
Anything. Space technology, anything that Islam has offered humanity besides death and destruction. And if you think otherwise, ask the Jews. Ask the Yazidis.
There you go.
Okay? Doug and I used to watch videos of just entire villages of Yazidis being slaughtered by Sunni Muslims in Iraq. I've got the videos.
He's got a closet full of hard drives that would
make you vomit. Make you puke.
Right.
Now you're sitting there listening to people gurgling for their last breath as the person's sawing their head off. Yeah.
Yep. I have to add this, RT. I was invited on Fox News, Your World with Cavuto. They asked me to come on and justify us putting up videos of the beheadings. And here's the sad part. The investigators, the true investigators in our government could not, they were prohibited from accessing any of the actual videos. So we hosted them on our website. And Fox News invited me on, and then the feds ridiculed us and said that we were a bunch of, that we were engaged in snuff films and just all kinds of stuff.
Oh, and what they were trying to do is classify things quickly. And that way, if we put it up, we'd be in trouble.
Right, right.
So stuff would give them, they would classify and use it against us.
Well, and I think this is an important part of the whole conversation. Last week, I dedicated a couple of shows, a couple of episodes to this very subject. Okay. And in your absence, and I know you were having a rough time, but and I wanted you with me then to talk about it because you were a big part of this. I mean, you found documentation online. We found it on different physical sites that we turned over to the government that they never saw before, they never had. Nope. And then, of course, they threw us to the wolves, Randy Taylor, myself, and others to the wolves, and said, you're on your own. And we, you know, we tried to get the word out. We were invited and then rapidly disinvited on numerous radio stations. The only exception, both national and regional, would be WBEN out of Buffalo. Tom Bowerly had the balls to say, okay, let's do this. But beyond that, no one else.
Yeah. And then Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, man.
Well, and you know, I'm going to give you the chance, if you feel like it, to continue.
He opened up the government to these Muslims. We're talking in places where there should be security clearances. And these people didn't have security clearances, places the Justice Department, these Muslims being allowed in, and suddenly our identities, you know, where they were trying to expose us. Yep. I got threatened. They were, because we were good. We were good at what we did. And I was really, really good at it. And as far as underlying, undercover online, and we're getting right in the rooms with Al-Qaeda, right in there when they were making their plans. I mean, we were right there.
And I want to emphasize, that's what you, Randy Taylor excelled at, creating different Islamic or Muslim personas, Arabic personas, and integrating within these password protected forums that still exists. In fact, some on the backs of servers in the U.S., government servers in the U.S., But he excelled at that. And of course, I took care of some of the ground ops. And so together we were pretty formidable, but continue.
And Doug had a website, the Northeast Intelligence Network. And we had a venue to get the word out.
Right.
We had a great venue to get the word out and also walk a fine line between breaking the law and getting the word out. Because it's a really, really, it is a very fine line.
Yes, it is.
And the point is, we warned everybody.
Yeah.
We warned everybody, and all we took was grief for our efforts. We had Obama coming after us because, if they know that much, then they must be one of them. You know, they have to be involved with them. No, it's because we're good at what we did. You're right. I'm Al-Qaeda. Right.
If you want to, it's interesting because this weekend, it was like 3 a.m. on Saturday night. I watched Arlington Road. Folks, if you have never seen that movie, that's pretty much a blueprint. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but if you haven't seen it, Arlington Road, I think it's free on one of those, I don't know, whatever you call them. That's not cable anymore, one of the online channels. But you start digging and you find things out. And now that, of course, I'll just add this caveat. Obviously, that was about this right-wing hate thing, okay? Just substitute.
Which they were probably told. People don't realize that the movie The Sum of All Fears was originally about Muslims.
Yes.
And they got a warning from the government. Yes.
Yeah.
The Sum of All Fears was a great movie. But then they turned it over to being Ukrainian, Russian, this and that, and totally changed it. But it was originally about Muslims getting their hands on a nuke. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a reality. That's not some Hollywood fantasy. That's not a great byline for a movie. That's reality. Muslims shooting up schools or a shopping mall. That's not just a book or a story. That's reality. Because that's what these people do. And I want you to think about the United States of America and anywhere in the country on a typical day, how unprotected the inhabitants are. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. What if they decided to take over your kid's school? I'll tell you right now, they won't think twice about killing your kid. Do you realize that we're going to start having some serious problems in New York? We already have problems in New York. And I'm just so disappointed that Patriots didn't step up and do something up there. I really am. What would our forefathers think?
Well,
stop and think about it. A lot of people don't even, here's the part. They don't even have the guts to speak out about it.
Of course.
Let alone do something about it.
Right.
Oh, I'm not going to speak. They're going to think I'm a racist. Do you realize you were set up by Barack Hussein Obama, Eric Holder, and Loretta Lynch in racist training 101, and you were an unwilling participant? Everybody in the country was. They created this racial divide. They created this thing where, to speak about race, to speak about anything like that, you're a racist. Remember the word racist came back, like just everything. It didn't matter. If you didn't like the color blue, you were a racist. Racist this, racist that, racist, 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 racist. It got to the point, I was like, these people don't even know what they're talking about. It's like the word fascist.
Nazi. Nazism.
Fascist. Yeah.
The weaponization of the language.
Yes.
And we were being, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, the blue haired, pink haired, blue haired, pierced, tatted, you know, the people with nose rings that you see on social media. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. That is the symptom, that's a symptom of what's going on.
Yeah, a much bigger problem.
Right. Yeah. Think deeper. And we're conditioned in our team. We're conditioned especially through social media to, again, you know, hey, at this point, most people say, man, if the video is over 30 seconds long, they scroll past. Mm-hmm. It's the conditioning, the behavioral modification. It's the weaponization of language. It's by the top tier globalists, the oligarchs who are setting this up. And people talk about MK Ultra and stuff like that. Look, MK Ultra has been so refined. I mean, what we're witnessing today is kind of Dr. Mengele's, Nazi. It's essentially MK Ultra's, domestic. It's a wet dream for them. I mean, they would love to see what's going on right now, especially with AI and such. Go ahead.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And there is so much ignorance when it comes to, you know, sadly, a lot of the people that are out there running around, jumping up and down, acting like they want Islam, weren't even alive 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
If you remember, you know, I remember that day like it was yesterday. That's one of the reasons one of the reasons I met Doug. You know, we were in a common fight, and I was looking for like-minded souls, you know, and I knew that I had to engage in this fight. I just didn't know really how to get started. You know, I wasn't sure, you know, and a couple things all happened at the same time. A friend referred me somewhere, a phone call at 10 o'clock at night, looking for an FBI office, and at the same time, sending an email to Doug. You know, a bunch of things all came together at once. Then next thing I knew, I found a venue to fight. And to give you an example, the way I made my foray into the intelligence world in 2002 was because I called the FBI office in New York City after 9/11. It was closed.
Yeah.
Cheers. I'm not joking. So I got swung over an operator, said, hey, I'm going to put you over with a New York City terror prevention, something or other here. Stuck me over there, and I never looked back. My life changed that night. And I was able to work with and help assist in developing the initial stages of the New York Intel Unit. One of the best in the world.
Now, well, under, so folks, understand the timing of this. Okay, so post 9/11, our understanding was, look, we're all coming together and fighting a common enemy. And of course, that did not last long. Remember Tom Ridge, Department of Homeland Security, the formation, the Patriot Act, and all of everything we've seen, which is going to come into play here in this episode. That has been weaponized now. And now the target, well, if it ever was, probably not. The target is no longer the invaders. It's the American population who want to expose the graft and the grift and the corruption and the takeover, the communist ideologies within the U.S. Now they're turning all of that onto us. And you mentioned, I just want to make sure okay, so Eric the Tech under law enforcement docs in the drive. The last one, I just want to point this out because this is what we were talking. This is what Marty was talking about. It would be the ground zero one, the last file on the drive under law enforcement docs. I'm going to put this picture up. It's after 9/11, a couple of days after it happened, I was there, and I met a detective who, I don't want to say gave me a tour, but showed me some things. It was horrific. The smell was horrific. The sight was horrific. I can't even describe it to this day, and I know RT is the same way. Now, ground zero fence. Anything in me in there do not put up. because RT, this is why you and I met. Mm-hmm. This is why you and I did what we did.
Yeah.
Again, this is under law enforcement docs as opposed to terrorism. But I want people to see this. And you know what? It's really not that great of a photograph, but there's, I don't know if there's another one. Hang on a minute. Let's see here. I guess that's the only one. I guess that was the one that I grabbed. Because I had like 15 or 20 of these photographs. Anyway, there you go. Okay, imagine this. Okay, there were teddy bears. There was a makeshift fence put up all around this area, a block or two away from the actual site of Ground Zero in New York City. There were women crying, kids crying, people putting flowers, teddy bears, putting up photographs of their loved ones. In the days afterwards, looking for people. They haven't found them. Last went to work to watch them, to see the tears. I mean, real tears, real heartbreak, real honest to goodness. You know, where is my husband? Where's my daughter? Where's my son? Where's my... to see this and to have the kids put the teddy bears up and flowers, pictures, drawings. You can see it right there. That's just a small picture. And then, of course, the flags. And then they have the government do what they did. Have Obama, this country, they installed, by the way, they installed Obama, but yet people kissed his ass.
Yep. Yep. He came out of nowhere, ladies and gentlemen.
I quickly forgot. From that to that piece of shit that's going to be mayor of New York City, are you out of your friggin' mind? Yep. You forgot this, every one of you, or you weren't born, or you never cracked the history book. Oh, that's right, history books. No, they don't have this. You never saw one tear hit the cement there. You never saw one blood stain. You never saw one body part. You never saw any of that. You never saw you never saw this. You never experienced it, and yet you're running your pie hole out there.
Yeah. Why? Because you can get a free bus ride? Because you're thinking you might get free subway tokens? What's the price of your soul? That's my question to the New Yorkers. And they're doing just like they're doing. We got another problem in Minnesota. There's a bad problem there. And we talked about this. Doug and I talked about this way back in the early 2000s about that guy, Keith Ellison, the guy that wouldn't swear in on the Bible. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The convert Muslim that swore in on the Quran. And we said he was a problem then. And nobody did anything about it. The FBI didn't do anything about it. Okay. We knew Keith Ellison was a problem. Okay.
We knew John Brennan was a friggin' problem.
Yes. And that's the thing. But I guarantee we've got articles about Ellison back then.
I've got yours.
In archive. We got them there. Ladies and gentlemen, we warned everyone.
Yep.
That's the part that infuriates me. And look at what's going on now. You got a million Somalis up there. A million.
Walk me through that. How do you think that's going to play out, my friend?
I have no idea. I hope Trump gets busy and gets his little skinny asses out of the country. They need to go. Okay? They are not our friends.
No.
They are not our friends. And a lot of those Somalis... throughout the last 15, 20 years, 20 years that I know of, okay, have been showing up that were from Minneapolis, were showing up overseas fighting for Al-Qaeda.
The architecture, the structure, Randy Taylor is just pointed out there something very important. The people that we found that the foothills of the Catskills in Hancock, New York, the people in urban Buffalo that we absolutely identified, there's people in Virginia, there's people all across the country. We traced. Yeah, they were training here, but they were also training over there. And they were also fighting over there. And then coming back, the ones that survived came back, and they're still here. Folks, Randy Taylor is with me, and I just want to say this, help him out, all right? If you can, if you've got the ability to, don't look. I mean, do what you can. The one way to help him out is, of course, rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. That's connected via PayPal. I don't think you need a PayPal account. You just have to sign in there. And RT can also accept email at that address, as well as rt@hagmanpi.com. If if you have any questions. All right. And it's all above board. It's all goes directly to his medical expenses. He's paid the price. He's paid a hell of a price. And he's paid these look, I've been with him, next to him, getting flipped off by hookers.
We've been in some combat zones in the United States. We rolled into places in Buffalo where we went into the neighborhoods, and it wasn't because they were selling crack. They knew we were coming, and we could tell by looking at them, okay? They were from overseas. A lot of them had just come in. You could tell. You can tell a man who's lived in the desert and fought in the desert, and they were on the phones on the roofs of the houses letting them know we were coming. You know, they're here. Yep. They're here.
That was an amazing thing to see in an urban area. I mean, Buffalo, New York. And look, I say Buffalo because that was one of the areas of our operation. But this goes to Minneapolis. It goes to hell. It goes to Miami. It goes to any city you can name. If you go into an area, because what they do, and Eric the Tech, I know I'm overworking you, my friend, but that the one file, the one PDF file that you had up, that Best Street, I think it was, or let's see, was that the one? Yeah. Hang on a minute here. But see, they've got this, they've got these, they'll buy the, they'll occupy the mosque. They will store weapons in there. And I want you to address that too, because the weapon storage, the tunnels underneath these locations, we verified it through blueprints. We showed the blueprints. We provide, and we watched, we videoed, at the time, videotaped. Yes, videotaped. Not digital, but video. But we had video of weapons delivery. And I'm not talking just about AK-47s. I'm talking about explosives. And the FBI said, yeah, okay, well. Yeah. So, I mean, RT, if you want to address that.
We also know that they purchased an armory.
Yeah.
You know, the Lackawanna. And then you remember the Lackawanna 6?
Yeah, I spoke about that last week. Yeah.
That's something that, man, people don't realize how close they came to a bloodbath. They have no idea. Yep. They don't get it.
And I said, not to interrupt you, but here I am anyway. I said last week, and in fact, after that show, my wife, when I got to my house, I was talking to my wife about that. And I said, do you remember making plans to go to the Galleria Mall in Buffalo? And then me saying, no, that is off, because the Lackawanna 6 planned on doing some really, I mean, shooting and blowing things up at the Galleria Mall. And at the time, the FBI said, you know what, we're working this, but you can't say anything. You can't warn anybody. You can't. And boy, shades of 1993, the FBI, right? Under the First World War. Yeah. Okay. We're going to trust you, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, continue.
Yeah. God, we trust you ain't on that list. And people don't understand the soft target. It's too, the soft targets are so appealing. And look across the United States. I want you to think about it. When you hop in your car tomorrow and you drive, just say you head off to work. When you're 5 minutes on your way, you're going to hit a stop sign or a stoplight. I just want you to stop. Look around. Just look around. Everything you see is a target.
You got that right.
It's that simple. It's that simple. Because these people aren't going to attack an army base, you know, where they might get killed. They're coming for your kids. They're coming for your husband or your wife. It's in the building that they work in. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, there's the lone nut that'll show up at CIA headquarters and shoot things up. He's nothing. He's nothing. It's the other ones we got to worry about. And they've been living amongst us, charting, planning, taking pictures. You think I'm joking? You know, do you have any idea after 9/11 when people really became aware how many Muslims they spotted that were out surveying and taking pictures and notes and drawing maps all over the United States and Canada?
Yeah. And to just so people understand, Randy Taylor, okay, under many personas, and these were password protected chat rooms for
Arabic language chat.
There you go. But he would go in places where the feds claimed that they couldn't get into, or places that the feds went in and acted like bulls in a china shop, just essentially being assholes. I mean, incompetence wouldn't even begin to describe what they did. And, you know, Randy Taylor was the one who found plans, drawings, targets, hijacked over video security systems that were hijacked of airports.
Oh, yeah. Video systems, DVR systems, closed circuit stuff.
Yeah.
All over airports, all kinds of stuff. And these guys all had access to every bit of this. And they would share this information. And I'd go in and I learned more just by being quiet and basically moving around.
And in the interest of time, Randy Taylor and folks, I have to give RT a lot of credit because it's taken a lot out of him physically to be here. You got to understand that. So if I'm talking more than you think I should, don't yell at me. I'm trying to lighten his load. Okay. But, so it's taking a lot out of him to be here. You got to understand that. But I will say this. It was Randy Taylor who came to the realization. And then of course together, you know, saying, hey, wait a second. All of this is compliments being sponsored by our own intelligence agencies. They're behind it all. The Obama intelligence agencies, but it goes deeper than that because Obama mid-level manager goes even higher. It goes lower. It goes wider and it goes deeper. You know, people say, well, it's Obama. It's not. Yeah. Yes, it's Obama, but it's beyond that.
He's a symptom.
That's right. He's a tool.
He's a symptom. It isn't like if we removed Obama that this would all go away.
No, no.
Because it's beyond him. You remember the guy that cranks that thing and the monkey dances? Okay. The Obamas and the different people in the government, they're just the monkeys dancing.
That's right.
It's the organ grinder that we're after.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the real, the ones that are opening the doors, like in Canada, and just letting mass migration occur. Mass migration, unchecked.
Ilhan Omar would not have gained her seat had it not been for the 800,000 Somalis that were deliberately imported and placed, geographically placed there, then given the ability to vote against the U.S. Constitution.
Thank you to Keith Ellison. And this stuff's starting to be exposed up there. Okay. Tim Walz is getting exposed. He's just part of the problem, though. This is far bigger than Tim Walz, the governor. Way bigger. Way bigger than just Tim Walz. This is huge. What's gonna come out, and if the FBI will actually get in there and dig, it would put Keith Ellison in handcuffs.
Hell, you know, I'd be excited. In fact, I would think it would be AI if I saw anybody of note in handcuffs, because I ain't seen it.
Aren't you? Yeah. And why is this, Doug?
Why
is this? Why are we sitting here? Why is Adam Schiff still walking around? I don't understand that. Adam Schiff should be behind bars in a no bond situation. Why is he still walking around? And I'm not understanding why Trump wouldn't be gunning for this guy when this is one of the architects of trying to overthrow him in his first term.
I'm going to say something controversial.
Why isn't John Brennan in the can?
Exactly. They all should be in handcuffs. Consider this, folks. Bongino has written books and books and books about Spygate and, you know, the Russian collusion hoax and all that, right? He's in a position to do something about it. What? Nothing. Cash Patel, same thing. Nothing. Now, people will say, well, it takes time to build cases. For crying out loud, you built the case as a private citizen. All you have to do now is to verify, authenticate the evidence, and, of course, act upon that evidence through the Department of Justice. But then here we are. No perp walks, no handcuffs. You have to ask yourself why. What the hell is going on? Is President Trump, you know, is he plugged in, or is he, what's going on there? I don't know. I don't claim to know. All I know is we're not seeing justice, and this is a bunch of crap. But I'll tell you this, okay? If we don't see anything happen, and I don't suspect we will, when the power shift changes midterms and then 28 happens, everything, they're coming after you.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming after you. And yeah. I guarantee you, you will be in handcuffs. You will be chained. I want to show you this, RT.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, this is page 2 in the show notes. You think AI is a great thing? Oh, it makes life easier, convenient. Man, how great is AI, right? Well, AI, 972 Magazine published this, AI-powered kill chain. Folks, this is too long to get into right now. But you've got to read this. It'll be in the show notes at HagmanPI.com under today's link when I put it up. Not before. When I put it up. If I'm late, that's, hey, sorry.
Tough.
Tough. That's right. Read this. Okay. This, they're using this right now in Gaza. Okay. And speaking about Gaza, yeah, Israel's got a deep state too. Israel has got a deep state operational in the U.S. as well. Okay. Israel is not, I'm not talking about the Jews. So shut up about that. I don't want to hear that. I'm talking about the deep state of Israel. And anyone who holds dual citizenship in the U.S. should not be in a position of power. I don't give a damn if it's dual citizenship with Somalia or Israel. You should not be in friggin' power. And what they're doing is unconscionable. The deep state of Israel, unconscionable. Who benefits? The deep state of Israel as well as the deep state of the U.S. So do not, and listen to me carefully. I am not, this is not an indictment of the Jews. You want to make it, you want to take it down to that stupid moronic level, then you know what? I ain't doing it with you. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And the other thing that I've always pointed out about Israel, if you go back and look in the Old Testament, many, 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 many times was not in favor with God.
Yep. Yep.
And this is one of those times. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how it is.
Yep.
It's been like that. Go back and read the Bible. When Moses came down from the mountain, what were they doing? Worshiping a golden calf.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Adam wandered around the wilderness for 40 years? Because he was angry with them. He chastises his people. Okay. That is no indictment of the Jewish people at all. Yes. I love the Jewish people. I'll die in a trench with you.
And you know, what people don't, I think this is a problem. Look, they're different. I don't want to say sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Jews, but there are different belief systems where some, like Christianity, I mean, you know, certainly I don't subscribe to, what was that one group that you know, would protest at funerals, whatever. Look, folks, they're not all the same. So, you know, stop that with that. But the bottom line, the controllers behind this are all the same.
Right.
Period.
It's yeah. above and beyond the people.
Yeah.
It's way beyond that. We're talking about in the puppet show, we're talking about the people up here.
Which you're never going to see. You're never going to have a chance to say, hey, those be, no.
Because you notice the stage cuts off right about there.
Yeah.
Right about there. All we see is the marionettes on the strings.
And to illustrate this, RT, we'll take a 3-minute interlude here. This is cut two. This is important for a lot of reasons. I'll tell you what. Let's go to Eric's throwing stuff right now. I can just see. Let's go to cut one first. This is a single greatest crime ever perpetuated against the American people. This is to build upon what was said, what we said, and to build upon what is existing out there. Cut one, and then we'll talk briefly about. Then we'll go to cut two, because both of them. You've got to understand. I think the people have to really understand how all of this is interconnected that we're talking about.
Used to always say, Doug? It's all intertwined.
There you go, man. the pictures, you know, the memes of the pictures on the board and the yarn and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's all intertwined.
You got it. So let's go to cut one, because this kind of lays a foundation to what RT and what we've been talking about. And then we'll go to cut two let's go to cut one first and then we'll talk. Go ahead.
Releasing so many people. You know why the Biden administration released millions of people in the United States? No one ever talks about it. I'll talk about it. Why did they release people into the interior of the United States and rather than put them into an ice bed? Why not put them in an empty ice bed at $127 a night rather than in a hotel room at $500 a night? They did it on purpose, because when you put them in ice detention bed, they get a hearing in 35 days. Court records show 9 out of 10 people claim asylum, get order removal, they're gone. But if you release them and put them in a hotel room at $500 a night, their hearings could be 5, 7, 9 years if you pull out all appeals. And what are they hoping for then? That another Democrat administration is in power. They can warrant amnesty to millions. This is about selling this country off for future political power. That's what it was. The law clearly says if you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall. And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over. That's what the law says, and that's what we've done.
And I'll add this. That's why you have such an outcry, such a war against the process of getting them the hell out of our country.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. But they've got to go.
Exactly.
They've got to go. And in Canada, it's gotten so bad that even the legal immigrants are complaining.
The ones that earned the right to be here.
Yeah, you know the reason I couldn't have a hospital bed? Because of immigration.
Expand.
Because they go in the waiting room. It wasn't white people in the waiting room. Downstairs in a merge. The hospital is overwhelmed. Ontario?
With illegals is Ontario, what I'm hearing.
Both.
Okay.
Illegals and just regular immigrants, because they opened the gate. I mean, there's been well over 1 million immigrants brought into Canada this year. You don't have the resources for it. You don't have the infrastructure. If you're going to do something like that, you have to have the infrastructure in place to absorb 1 million people. And where do they all go? They go to the most populated areas rather than stick them out in the prairie state somewhere. You know, and throw a 7-Eleven and a bank and whatever it is they like out there, and maybe some manufacturing, you know, and start building something out there. No, they all migrate to the population centers, and the hospitals can't handle it. Transportation can't handle it. You can't handle it. You can't. It's nuts. It's overrun. Ontario's been overrun.
So okay, now the pause right there, and folks, I'm delighted because we do have RT, Randy Taylor, and again, please consider if you have the means to support RT. Because I mean, his bills are $100,000, and think about this: a year ago, he was walking with two legs. Today. No. rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com, only if you have the ability. Okay. And look, we'll support him. Please, I ask. Ask for your generosity. The guy's given so much to all of us. That's rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. The link will be in the program description box.
And thank you, folks. I hate to ask. I don't know what else to do. This is, I'm facing disaster.
Yeah.
And then when your legs are taken away from you, it takes away so many options that I might have possibly had to try and make some of this money back, you know, and pay off some of these bills, but I can't.
Yeah. All right. I mean, folks, please understand where we're at with this. And again, you know, I bore witness to his working for nothing hours upon hours upon hours and weeks and months and years.
I'm just thrilled to be here. Yeah. I didn't honestly lay in the hospital bed 8 weeks ago. I didn't think I would ever be doing this again.
Yeah, I had my doubts. I couldn't say anything because I just couldn't say. But here we are. Let's go to cut two to show you the depth of this. Take a moment to regroup, you and I, and let's go to cut two. It's just over 3 minutes. But so the first video, Tom Homan talking about, you know, it's seemingly simple distinction between a hotel room versus an ice bed, but it's deeper than that. It's beyond that. And let's look at the foundational parts of this. This is cut two. Here it is.
It's been over 7 years since a church group from another state brought a couple hundred refugees to the rural county where I live. I wanted to know, how could they do this? What was the governmental process that allowed the resettlement of refugees to a county ill-prepared to assimilate them? Employment opportunities were scarce. The health department was not familiar with illnesses and mental health problems of people who came from parts of the third world. The school system was not prepared to teach large numbers of students who didn't speak English, and subsidized housing was scarce. I wanted to know who gave permission for what amounted to a dropping off of needy people in our county seat. So I began my research and posted everything I learned to a blog, Refugee Resettlement Watch, so that others might know what I learned about a federal program that is 35 years old this year. In summary, I discovered that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees was choosing most of our refugees. It's under the influence of a powerful Muslim supremacist group called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Not surprisingly, a large number of U.S.-bound refugees are coming from countries with large numbers of people who hate us, including Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and soon from Syria, just to name a few. The U.S. State Department then distributes the refugees to 9 major federal contractors, 6 of which are so-called religious charities, but all are largely funded from the U.S. Treasury. They're not passing the plate on Sundays for the $1 billion price tag for the resettlement. And that figure does not include the extensive welfare benefits refugees receive. The refugees are then sent to over 190 cities and towns in the U.S. where the 9 major contractors support 350 subcontractors. The refugees receive help from the subcontractor for up to 6 months, and the subcontractor then submits paperwork to admit the relatives of the first group. As the years have passed, I've become increasingly alarmed by the percentage of problematic Muslim refugees admitted and distributed around the U.S. through this program. By the way, the Refugee Resettlement Program is not the only one used for legally admitting Muslims, but it is one of the most important. Many are forming cities within cities. Perhaps you know one where you live, where mosques are being built to consolidate, train, and promote a growing American Muslim population and its Islamic supremacist doctrine called Sharia. This process of Muslim colonization is called the Hijra. Muhammad told his followers to migrate and spread Islam in order to dominate all the lands of the world. He said they were obliged to do so, and that's exactly what they are doing now with the help and support of the UN, the U.S. State Department, and the Christian and Jewish groups assigned to seed them throughout the country. Your tax dollars pay for it all. I've written this little book, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America, so that you will know what is happening to us and what we can do about it. We only need to look to a troubled Europe to see the path ahead for America if we can't stop this migration and stop it soon. There's no reason on earth that we should have brought over 100,000 Somalis and another 100,000 Iraqi Muslims to America. Soon we will be resettling Syrian Muslims in large numbers. The UN at the moment has over 10,000 in a pipeline destined for our towns. The FBI told Congress recently that they cannot be properly screened. If you don't help counter the Hijra, we are, in my opinion, doomed. Over time, this migration will be more devastating to your children and grandchildren and to our country than any terrorist attack could ever be. Learn more at Refugee Resettlement Watch and SecureFreedom.org.
There you go. Two places you can go to learn more about that. Lorraine, thank you much from the chat. Thank you much. You know what we're talking about, Lorraine. God bless you. You know about it. And yes, ISIS is not an organic. It was not organically developed. ISIS is a creation of not just the Mossad, or not just the Israeli intelligence, or not just Israel, but a combination of intelligence groups. Look, if you want to bash Israel, great. Go ahead and bash them. But understand, it's bigger. It's more extensive than just Israel. It involves the coordination of multiple intelligence agencies across the planets. So don't be stupid. Okay. I'm just saying, don't be stupid.
Who are working for globalists?
Yeah.
The globalists employ, where do you think these intelligence agencies get their operating money? From drug sales, human trafficking, yep. And globalists.
And that's, the American taxpayer.
But, but a lot of the taxpayer money has to be at least accounted for.
Right.
You know what I mean? But still, don't think that it's that small. If it was that small, we could kill it.
True. Good point. If it was that...
Right, I wish it was that easy. If it was that easy, I'd have killed it already. It's not that easy.
It's kind of like the election issue, which I find fascinating. Patrick Byrne, his group, what happened with the 2024 election, if you haven't seen the published things by Pat Byrne and, of course, Laura Logan, great, great young woman, great woman. I mean, I think so much of her, with the, Gary Bernstein and, the author. I think it's episode 45. I'm not sure of Laura Logan's show. I mean, all of this is so intricate and people don't have that understanding. You, Artie, you're one of the few people I know, and this is not flattery, but you're one of the few people I know who can put together the pieces very quickly. But you know what? Having no one act upon those pieces is a problem. Go ahead, sir.
You can talk, all day long.
Yeah.
Getting people to listen. And I mean, come on, even the Christians aren't listening. You know, and you're the primary target of these Muslims. The Christians, is us. We're the primary target.
Yeah.
We're the deer in this deer hunt. And I was just sitting here thumbing through and looking at the plan, the project, the Muslim Brotherhood project.
You found the document.
December 1st, 1982. A couple of people found there's always been dispute as to who found what. We've always attributed it to Patrick Poole.
Right.
The project, and the document is a 14-page plan written in Arabic, dated December 1st, 1982, which outlines a 12-point strategy to establish an Islamic government on Earth, identified as the project. This document was recovered in a raid by Swiss authorities in a villa many, many years ago. This is a long time ago. 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago. The point is, there's 14 pages in Arabic. It's very, if you read it, it's very clean and concise and to the point of their plan to take over the Western world. Right behind it is the English translation.
Yep.
Okay. I posted it on Twitter. I'm sure Doug has it. I know Stephen Emerson has it on his site. But all you got to do is look up the Muslim Brotherhood Project. That's all. And I'd sit here, I'd be happy to sit here and read all 14 pages to you. But the point is, we know what's coming. And we still allow this crap. We're that stupid and naive. And the government, these guys that get paid off, governors, you got these different governors in different states that have taken in mass amounts of people from over in countries where they know they hate Christians.
Yep.
And they take them in, and they're paid off by governments. The Muslim Brotherhood, everybody thinks that all the mosques and everything in the United States are by the Muslim Brotherhood. No, it's not. It's a Muslim organization. It's several Muslim organizations. But I put a thing on Twitter about that, too. There's a... And it tells you,
give your Twitter handle out, please.
Yeah. Geez, I have to look myself up.
I have to do this.
Randy Taylor _ USA. Randy Taylor _ USA. And listen, I slam Islam. I will make no apologies for it. I refuse. I will not. I don't give a damn if they get offended. And I get tired of these little Islamic perps and little twerps that sit there and these little snots that quote, you know, the Quran. You know what? They might know a whole page out of the whole book. Truthfully.
Yeah.
They don't know what's in the Quran. And I'm not joking.
It's kind of like a baby Christian trying to apply scripture.
It's just like Christians. Yeah. Few Christians have read the Bible cover to cover.
Yeah.
Few Muslims have read the Quran cover to cover. They don't understand what a guide to death and destruction it really is. And they also refuse to accept that the Quran is in chronological order and has to stay in chronological order. Otherwise, it's a violation of the book itself. And it tells you that in the Quran. Okay? The Bible, the Old Testament, was violent. That God made his new covenant with man with the New Testament when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. New covenant. We went from eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, to turn the other cheek. The Quran started out peaceful. And it got violent.
What was it? Mecca to Medina?
Yes. Yeah, okay. But Mecca to Medina. The Meccan tribes kind of thought that Mr. Pedophile was kind of weird. Him and his followers were kind of weird. So they ran him out. Well, Muhammad left. Okay. Went to Medina, got very powerful. He came back and it wasn't the same thing. Yet now it was very violent and it was lay the sword against the unbeliever's neck. And they can't reverse that. And they have to stay in chronological order in order to honor the book. And the ones that say differently are full of shit.
I could not have said that better.
Be it camel, whatever. They're full of it.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll just tell you right now. It's a
There is nothing good about Islam. And all this puppy dog stuff, flowers and puppy dog stuff, is phony baloney. It's to lure you in.
You know, kind of an aside, I've had people say, "You should. Why don't you go back and give YouTube a try? How long do you think we'd last on YouTube, just this episode alone?" Nah, I don't think we'd last more than, we wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't last very long.
Okay.
Although, I have noticed a shift a little bit in on some of these platforms, allowing people to slam Islam.
It's not slamming. It's providing the facts.
Yes, but not being taken down for it.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't know if Elon Musk is behind that. Something, even on Facebook, I'm seeing things that I'm really surprised are on there. And the amazing thing is people that they put on about Islam, as far out as it is, a lot of it is true.
Well, yes.
That's the thing, because it's so far out and disgusting. It's a disgusting, disgusting political system.
RT, we do have some time. Here's what I'd like to do. Islam is a tool as well. The Muslims here, it's a tool. The resettlement migration is a tactic strategy, and it becomes the weaponization becomes a method. The ultimate objective here, and I saw this, I have issues with a couple of people, but okay. Cut three. Ultimately, what's the ultimate objective here? Is the enslavement of the population, the 15 minute cities, the globalists, Schwab, name an oligarch, name a billionaire, and it's there, you know.
And Doug, I think they want to do it to some of their own people too.
Yeah,
be honest with you, the Saudis. Because if you look, there's something, people really need to look this up. And this is no joke, no bullshit. There's a project in Saudi Arabia out in the desert. That they're building. It's like 35 miles long.
Yep.
And this is a building. This is a building. Who are they putting in there? Who are they putting in there?
It's not for royalty.
No, it's not for royalty. Mm-hmm. Something's going on. Something I'm not understanding a lot of what I'm seeing. Even I'm not understanding things that I'm seeing.
Well,
and that one right there, because I know how Wahhabists are. They think that they're the purest form of Islam, and it would just soon slaughter just about anybody else, even if the Islamic faith, be it Sharia or Sunni. Shia or Sunni, excuse me.
Right.
But what's going on? People, you need to look that up in Saudi Arabia. You need to look it up. There's a project out there, and I can't explain it.
And to a lesser extent, without getting too deep into this, you're seeing similar, smaller scale things happen here in the West, especially in the United States, okay? Mm-hmm. Where it's an encapsulated, it's almost like a 15 minute city, mm-hmm. conceptually, but it's an imprisonment with the Islamic component to it. That I didn't do that justice, but look that up, as RT said.
Yeah, that and the other thing that I would like to, and we've asked about this before, and I had to get the feedback, where are the FEMA camps?
Yeah, remember the coffins?
Where are they? Where are the FEMA camps? Yeah. I'd like to know. I would like to see them. I would like photographs of them and email them into us. I kid you not. I would love to see them, okay? Because I would like to know when they build all of those, because those were going hot and heavy during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. They were slamming up. These are like prison camps in the United States. No joke. And I know because I used to sell products to Halliburton. My company did. Okay. I was, I sold air conditioning systems. And I know this exists. I know these things exist. I saw Alex Jones do, the ones that I saw, I mean, they had train tracks going into them, turnstiles, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where you go in, you don't come out, barbed wire. Who puts barbed wire on a FEMA camp? You know what I'm saying? What happened to those camps? I would love to know. I mean, come on, people. I'm sure we got more than three listeners out there. I would like to know what happened to those FEMA camps.
Today, I'm not sure, but
well, there's that. Yeah. there's that. And Islam.
Yeah.
I thought at one point that we were making some headway against Islam, but I'm going to say this, and I can say this for Doug too. We've always watched this in the background, even with the fights with the Democrats. All the things that happened with Trump, you know, the first administration. I've been with Doug a lot of years doing on the show with him as a guest. And Islam was always there. We always knew Islam was a threat. And now it's looming its ugly head in a big time again. It kind of died down there for a while. You know what I mean? But while it died down, it was gaining ground. That's
if that makes sense, and it does.
It was gaining ground. Things in Texas, these encampments being built. Just there's things going on in the world that we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble.
Well, we are.
I don't know what to do, Doug.
I had a long conversation, telephone conversation with Steve Quayle. I think it was Monday. What would it say? Yeah, I don't know. And how do we fight this? The only one way to fight this, in my view, is to let God guide our steps. Mm-hmm. And you better be tuned in my view, to God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Okay. For protection, but for guidance as well.
This is spiritual war. Don't think for one second it's not.
Yeah.
This isn't Democrats versus Republicans. This is good versus evil.
And some people will balk at the, that's too simplistic. That's too black and white. Well, damn it. It is black and white.
Right.
It's good versus evil.
And you know why?
Put him up next to me if you'll mind.
That blends into a crowd. It's easy. It's easy when it's simplistic like that, because then it blends in the cloud in with the crowd.
Yeah.
And this has been coming. This has been coming. I have faith in Americans. Okay. But you got to get off your butts.
And if that
you got to speak up.
That's right.
And I haven't given up. Look at me. I can't walk to the bathroom. I can't even walk to the bathroom or the refrigerator. I haven't given up. Am I still breathing? Yeah. So guess what? I still got fight in me.
Yeah. Where there's life, there is purpose, and there is hope. And folks, with that, I just want to say,